This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I am Wong Xiaoning, and on the grill today, we have the Managing Director of Kawan Food, Timothy Tan. This company, which started 40 years ago making traditional pastries, has grown to be one of Malaysia's largest producers of Asian frozen foods. It's most known for its Kawan brand roti prata and KG spring roll pastry, which are found in many supermarkets throughout the country, but is also exported to 40 countries around the world. Good morning, Tim, as you would like to be known. Now let's start with manufacturing. Overall, what are your top five products in terms of sales?
The top five products, I like to go with the categories. The top three categories will be pratas, spring roll pastry, and chapati. So within the prata, we've got the plain prata. We have our like onion prata and all that. And then chapati. So the top three categories will be prata, spring roll pastry, and chapati. And that would make around 70% of our total sales already. Yeah.
But interestingly, in the markets that you do sell these products, for example, in Malaysia, prata is not your biggest selling product, is it? It's only about 15% of Malaysian sales. Is that a function of the fact that we can just go out very easily and get a nicely, freshly hot-made prata?
Yeah, I think yes, that's probably one of the factors. However, we do have a lot of younger mums, they actually buy our prata to keep it at home to make breakfast for their children. So it's very convenient, and I would say it's cleaner to eat at home in a safer environment also.
And yeah. I noticed you do have quite a lot of variants in terms of the prata also, right? It's not just the typical one that we see in the shops, but you have like wholemeal or whole wheat.
Yeah.
So do you do a lot of R&D in this space?
Yes. So every year we try to have new products coming out every year. And because we are the leader in this category, so we want to stay ahead of our competitors and stay ahead of the innovation curve.
So in terms of your competitive landscape, which you brought up, mm-hmm. Do you know what your market share is for key products? And is there a lot of competition from the likes of other brands that I see in the supermarket, like PA or Cards? Or is it more from the likes of MNCs, the large multinational corporations?
In the local landscape, I would say we have ballpark figure at least half of the market share, 50% market share. And the nearest competitor would be probably in their teens in terms of market share. That's the closest competitor. So in terms of the local landscape, I think we are far, very far ahead. And I don't think there are any MNCs in this space yet. So
for the Asian food, frozen food
yeah,
space.
Yeah.
What about the spring roll pastry, which mm-hmm. is your biggest product in Malaysia, right? Mm-hmm. Do you see any competition in that space also?
We do have competitors, but in Malaysia, because we are the first one to introduce this product in the 70s, so it's actually ingrained in the minds of the consumers already. It's actually from the past generation, now the next generation, they are using our pastries.
Yeah. Okay, and let's talk about your main markets. Because I was surprised to find out that 60% of your products are actually exported. Mm. And of that number, US is actually the largest with 43% of total export revenue. Now, how are your products distributed there? And how do you manage to sell so well in USA?
Oh, okay. The U.S., our distribution setup there is actually we sell to importers who then distribute our products to the, say, like the Little Indias and the Chinatowns of America. We are not in any mainstream retail yet in the U.S. We are not in like the Costco's or the Walmart's of the U.S. However, I think we are very deep into our own network, like the Little Indias and the Chinatowns. We are deep inside. So we make sure that our distributors cover 90-95% of all the Indian shops or the Chinese shops in the U.S. And how do we sell that well? We have the past 15 years, more than a decade, that we have done more and more marketing, and we do activities like we're very close to the community. And we know, for example, Indians in America, they pay a lot of attention on academics. So we sponsor the South Asian Spelling Bee contest.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yes, yes. And quite a few times, the champion of this South Asian Spelling Bee, they go to nationals. That means all Americans. Sometimes they win as the champion.
In 2018, you had some issues with your U.S. distributor, right, which affected sales in the first half of the year. Mm. Has that been resolved already?
Yes. Well, they had some... They move into a new warehouse in the Midwest. So they thought that that warehouse is going to be very efficient in transferring goods to throughout America. But then they had some hiccups. So now they have decentralized again. So we ship our products to various warehouses again.
And the other large market is the UK with an 11.5% contribution to overall export sales. So how do you distribute your products there? Is it also through the Chinatown and Little India shops?
Yes. Plus, however, in the UK, we do supply to one of our shareholders, also partner, under their own brand. And they do distribute to the likes of Tesco's and Sainsbury's and Asda's. So they are actually in the mainstream supermarkets in the UK.
So clearly this is a market that you're trying to grow. Do you have like a percentage target? Because it's already 60% of overall sales. Is that number going to continue or do you see it growing?
In terms of export, I think we still have a lot of room to grow because we are not even in Latin America yet. We have gone as far as to places like Jamaica, to Panama and all that. But we are not in like Mexico or Chile and all those places yet. So we still have a big continent that is untapped. And Africa is still, we're just still scratching the surface in Africa. And we do know that there are a lot of like second generation or third generation Indians in Africa. So we still have a lot of opportunity there.
Is that why you also launch ready-to-eat meals as a means of growing this export market?
I think ready-to-eat meals, it's more targeted around this region because we think that it's almost, we think that the time is almost there for people to buy ready meals to eat on the go. Just like Japan, like Korea or Taiwan, it has been there for years already. So I think we are ready now.
But in that space, you also will meet the likes of the other Asian food giant, right? CP Foods, which is very large and distributes all its products, especially in like those convenience stores. Yeah. How do you compete with players like that?
Well, to compete with players like that, we have products that is not so like generic. We have nasi dagang with gulai ikan, and we have nasi lemak royal, which is very Malaysian. It comes from different parts of Malaysia, so we are different like that. So we do not just offer simply nasi goreng. So we have something more Malaysian for the Malaysian market.
Do you think it will appeal beyond Malaysia, these very unique regional specialties?
Oh, okay. Beyond Malaysia, we will have all the normal stuff like the normal curry chicken and all those things. Yeah.
And are margins better for local sales or exports?
Margins would traditionally be better for exports because the cost of selling the goods in Malaysia would be higher because we have our own distribution team, we have our own sales team and all that. So the margins in Malaysia would normally be slightly lower than exports.
Oh, that's interesting. But how do you manage currency risk? Because I would imagine that your exports are sold in US dollars. Eh?
Yes, yes. So we manage it as proceeds, as we get collection from our customers. We do keep some of the US dollars in our Hong Kong office. And when the rate is better and all that, we will translate it back to Malaysia into ringgit.
And you did say that margins are lower in Malaysia. Is that a function of the competitive landscape or the inability to raise prices when you want because of consumer sentiment or the weak demand?
I think it's a combination of factors. We as a... I would like to think that we are a responsible food company and we do not like to raise prices for no reasons, just to gain more profits and all that. And because we see the chairman and I do see that the inflation in food has been pretty high the past decade. So we try not to increase our prices unnecessarily. So that's one factor. And another factor is that we just don't want to have our consumers think that, oh, they're increasing their prices just because of small little changes in raw material and all that. So, yeah.
So recently when we changed our taxation, like from GST, then back to SST, you didn't raise your prices?
No, even right after GST, where when there were some people trying to increase their prices, we did not increase the prices right away. We held on to it for, if I'm not wrong, for at least a year and a half. Yeah.
Okay, and we have to talk about China because you do have one plant there.
Yeah.
So tell us about the operations there. How big is the plant versus the Malaysian plant?
Oh, the plant in China, it's not that huge compared to our newest plant here in Malaysia. It's probably one-fifth of the size in Malaysia. And we've been manufacturing quite a few items in the past. But one of the newest items that we have that we are manufacturing there is actually tortillas.
And that is actually the largest product that you sell there in China also, right?
Currently, yes.
So it's not the prata, it's not the spring roll pastry that is popular in China.
Yeah, no. So yeah, that came as a quite a pleasant surprise. And when we started selling, it really gained traction right away.
Okay, I've been speaking to Timothy Tan, Managing Director of Kawan Food Berhad. After the break, we'll be discussing the new Pulau Indah plant, which has been a drag on earnings, and whether it was too ambitious, whilst looking at how the company has managed rising costs.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Timothy Tan, Managing Director of Kawan Foods. Early on, we talked about the company's growth strategy, product development, and how it intends to maintain its market share, especially in export markets. Yeah. Which brings me to the question that how do you know what to sell or what products will actually be saleable overseas? Because yes, you definitely know the Malaysian market being a Malaysian, but for markets like United States and China where taste is different, how do you create a product that is successful or you think that will be successful there?
I think one of the strengths of the company is actually our innovation. And every year we launch new products and sometimes some products fail. But our philosophy is actually fail and fail fast and move on and come up with a new item. So sometimes that's no guarantee that once you launch a product, it's going to be successful. So we come up with new products every year, and those products that are not that good, we just fail and move on.
How long do you let a product be on the market before you know, okay, this is not going to work, and then you draw it?
It depends on our discussion with our partners or distributors and all that. And if we think that there's still potential, we will still keep on fighting. But if not, maybe a year or two, then we'll take it off the shelves.
Because I noticed your latest way of distribution, which is actually through your e-channel shopping. And I went to your Kawan Food website and I counted there were something like 120 products available or thereabouts, right? Which to me is quite a lot of products. So how do you actually manage inventory, like you say, you know, if a product doesn't work?
Well, our production lines are pretty flexible. So it's not like one line for one product and all that. So we can have like changeovers and all that. So what we do is we tell the sales teams to do their forecast and all that. And we do have a big enough warehouse now. We can house 12,000 pallets of products in our new warehouse. So we can actually do forecasts and production can produce it in advance and keep it in the cold room.
Now, Tim, we were talking about costs earlier. So let's go through what are your major cost components?
Major cost components would be raw material. And I would say the next one would be, for us, would be electricity.
Because you did mention that you didn't raise prices, which is very admirable. But if we look at just raw material costs, and especially wheat, which I presume is a large part of a prata, right? Prices of wheat have been volatile. At the same time, commercial electricity tariff rates have also risen in Malaysia as of March this year. So has this had an impact on your margins in a way?
Well, for us, our philosophy is always to be very, very efficient. So that's why we move from smaller plants to bigger plants, and we keep on updating our machines, our lines and all that to be more efficient. So our wastage is actually pretty low. That's how we keep our cost low. So in terms of the flour, wheat flour and all that, I think it's still manageable for us. In terms of electricity, when we move to the new plant, our newer like refrigeration and all those things, it's actually making us more efficient. And our electricity bill did not shoot up tremendously.
What about the government's move towards raising minimum wage eventually to 1,500? Mm-hmm. Will that impact you going forward?
Well, going forward, if that is implemented, then we have to think of solutions to start to automate more and more processes, which we are doing. For example, our cold room, our warehouse now, it's automated. So automated stacking and retrieval. So we do not need a single person inside the cold room. In the past, before we move, we have our people in their big, thick jackets going into the cold room picking products. Now it's all automated. So we try to automate more and more processes, and moving forward, we'll be talking about Kaizen and all those things.
Yeah. And since we are on the topic of production, we have to talk about your Pulau Indah new plant, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Which cost 240 million to build, and that's like about 10 years of historical profits. Mm-hmm. So it started operations in mid-2018, has three times the capacity of your old plant for making, I believe, prata and chapati, which are also your key products. So you must be expecting strong revenue growth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you expect from this plant?
Yeah, like I said earlier, let's say in terms of just exports, we are just there's still two big continents that we are not tapping into. And also, we are also looking at the new products. For example, the more cooked breads. What we have now, the prata and the chapati, it's all raw dough. And people, especially living in the cities, in the metropolitans, they're actually looking for more convenience. One of the main reasons why people buy frozen food is actually for convenience. And we are actually going to increase the convenience by making those products par cooked. So you can just heat it up. And we have launched actually our roti canai. The packaging is purple. That one is actually toaster friendly. Oh. It's pre-cooked, so it's toaster friendly. And the way we market it is to market it to the parents and also to the children. They can actually make it themselves without even the parents helping them.
But do you think the plan was a little bit too ambitious? Because if we look at the first quarter results, mm-hmm. There doesn't seem to be any contribution from this plan to revenue. And at the same time, there's been quite heavy depreciation because mm-hmm. this plant costs so much to build. Mm-hmm. And that will impact bottom line. So, like, mm-hmm. what is the payback period for this plant then?
Well, I think in times like this, when there are quite a few companies out there suffering from the economy slowdown and all that, I think our revenue still grew 9% in the first quarter, which is almost double digit. I think, for that matter, I think we are stronger than ever before, because now we have got lots more space, and if we want to do any like future joint ventures and all that, we have space ready, and it can be done in a shorter time to increase revenue and all those things.
So this plant, what capacity utilization is it at now?
Okay, we said it's just the prata and chapati lines. We said three times. So now we are at around 40% utilization.
But for the overall plant?
For the overall plant, certain lines, we did not update them. So we have many, many products, like you said. So some were actually being shifted from the old plants to this new plant. So those we did not invest. But the heavier investment was actually for the prata and the chapati.
You know, you were reported in the press that investors had to be patient to wait for a 2-3 year period before the profit trend continued, because last year was pretty challenging from a profit perspective, right? It was down 20% to 23 million ringgit. So now we all know markets don't wait for anyone. So why should investors do so?
Well, we have set in more than 10 AGMs already. And I've seen a lot of the public shareholders from many, many years already. So I think Kawan is not a short-term share. And a lot of people, the investors, the public investors, they hold our share for a long time. And for those who have held our shares for that many years, I think they're very happy with the returns with our we've got share options, we've got the...
You have decent yield, I noticed.
Yes, yes, yes.
What is your payout ratio? Do you have a dividend policy?
We do not have a dividend policy yet, but I hope we do have one in the future, so that everyone, including the public shareholders, would have a direction or at least a feel where we're going.
And Tim, what kind of growth can we expect from Kawan Food in the next 2 to 3 years?
Double-digit growth shouldn't be any problem. That's why we launch new products every year. Every year, I would give a briefing to the shareholders of what we are doing and where we're going. So every year, the growth strategy is always to have either new channels or new products. So that is what we do each and every year. So with new products, we can actually target new channels as well.
And recently, we did see acquisitions in the consumer sector, right? We had Kenwan selling their OEM creamer and condensed milk business for between 800 million ringgit to a billion. So Tim, if someone knocked on your door today with a great offer, what will you do? Take the money and run?
Well, that really depends on the biggest shareholders. So I'll leave that decision to them.
Thank you for your time today, Tim. We hope that your growth plans materialize, and through Kawan Food, the humble Malaysian roti prata is the snack or meal of choice in every corner of the world. I'm Wong Xiaoning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with faster speeds every day. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.